Well, welcome once again, fellow biblical explorers. In our last study together, we discovered the second of the two prayers of Paul in the book of Ephesians, and that's found in chapter 3. We looked at the invocation, chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, and in this study, we're going to look at the petition, and that's chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. The continuation of Paul's prayer in the riches of his grace. In our last study together, we found out that this is the second of the two prayers of Paul that are recorded in Ephesians. The first can be found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 13, and that's called the Prayer of Enlightenment. This prayer is the second of the two prayers, and it's found in chapter 3, verses 14 to 21, and it's called the Prayer of Enablement. Paul, now that he has told these people about their great wealth in Christ, is feeling a great burden upon his heart. He wants them to experience all of their God-given spiritual privileges in their fullness. He wants these people to get their hands on their wealth, realize how vast it is, and then use it. We discovered and discussed the different postures of prayer and the posture that Paul himself used, the one of kneeling. However, we discovered that it is the posture of the heart that counts. In this study, we're looking at the petition, and it's found in chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. And here Paul is praying for the people. Well, what does Paul pray for? As we look at the next couple of verses, we see that Paul is praying for some very specific needs on behalf of the people at the Church of Ephesus. What are they? Well, let's look for a moment at those verses, verses 16 to 19. And here we find the four P's in the petition of Paul's prayer. I bet you can't say that 100 times fast. The four P's in the petitions of Paul's prayer. Now, each of these four requests are not separate, but lead into one another. One request leads right into another, and so on and so forth. Wiersbe says, he prays that the inner man might have spiritual strength, which then will in turn lead to a deeper experience with Christ. This deeper experience with Christ will enable him to apprehend or get a hold of God's great love, which will result in being filled unto all the fullness of God. So then Paul is praying for strength, depth, apprehension, and fullness. Well, if we want to remain true to the alliteration of the four P's in the petition of Paul's prayer, we can list them this way. The first petition in chapter 3, verse 16 is strength or power. The second in verse 17 is depth or presence. The third is apprehension or perception. And then fullness or plenitude. So always remember the four P's in the petition of Paul's prayer. Well, let's look at the first petition of power. Chapter 3, verse 16. It says this, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So here we have it. This is Paul's petition for power. Romans 8, verse 9 says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Therefore, the presence of the Holy Spirit in one's life is evidence of salvation. The power of that same Spirit enables us to live the Christian life. I cannot do it on my own. You cannot do it on your own. The presence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life gives evidence that he or she has been born again. Also, the Holy Spirit will then give that person the power to live the holy Christian life. Acts chapter 1 and 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is the power that Paul is praying for. He is praying that the new Christians at the Church of Ephesus will experience this power for their own lives. This power comes as a direct result of the grace of God out of the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. This power comes to the inner man once dead in sin, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, but now made alive when Christ is invited in. Well, let's look at the inner man for a moment. The inner man has attributes, just like you and I and our physical beings. Look at Psalm 119, verse 18. It says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." So the inner man can see. At Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." So the inner man can hear. Look at Psalm 34, verse 8. "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." So the inner man can taste. And then in Acts chapter 17, verse 27, "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he may not be far from every one of us." So the inner man can feel. All of these spiritual faculties in the inner man have been dulled over time with sin. But when the sinner asks Jesus Christ into his or her life, these faculties are awakened once more, and the Holy Spirit gives strength. All of our spiritual senses and faculties are controlled by God, and we are exercising them and growing in the Word. It is only when we fully yield to the will of God and let Him have His way in our lives that we can know the joy and the power of full surrender. It is only when we fully yield to the Spirit and let Him control the inner man that we succeed in living to the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14 says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk, and not strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The outer man may be perishing, but the inner man can be renewed spiritually in spite of outward physical decay. What does it mean to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit empower the inner man? As I said before, all of our spiritual senses and faculties are controlled by God, and we are exercising them and growing in the Word. Keeping this in mind, we must remember that the inner man must be exercised, cleansed, and fed. Just look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, where it says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Psalms chapter 51, verse 7 says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So here we have it. The inner man can be exercised, it can be cleansed, and it can be fed. And all of this is because of the riches of his grace. As I said before, all of our spiritual senses and faculties are controlled by God, and it is only when we fully yield to the will of God and let Him have His way in our lives that we can know the joy and the power of full surrender. I love what Matthew Henry says about being strengthened in the inner man. The inner man is the heart or the soul, and to be strengthened with might in the inner man is to be mightily strengthened, much more than they were at present, to be endued with a high degree of grace and spiritual abilities for discharging duty, resisting temptation, and enduring persecutions. The apostle prays that this may be according to the riches of his glory, or according to his glorious riches, answerable to that great abundance of grace, mercy, and power, which resides in God and in His glory, and this by His Spirit, who is the immediate worker of grace in the souls of all of God's people. Hallelujah. God's grace to us is immediate, but growing up and maturing into God's grace is a gradual process. The Greek word for strengthening is krataao, which means to be made strong, to increase in strength, to grow strong. Just like the bodybuilder or the weightlifter gradually building up his muscles, the Christian gradually builds up the spiritual muscles, enabling to endure persecution and temptation. Another Greek word for power is dunamis or dunamai, and that's where we get our word dynamite. This is the very thing that Jesus promised his disciples. And you shall receive power, dynamite, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all parts of the world. And here we see that we can have this power as well. God has given us his Holy Spirit that he might strengthen us for our service to Jesus Christ. My favorite verse in the Bible is from Isaiah chapter 40, and it's found in verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. David Guzuk goes on to say, there is an inner man just as real as our physical body. We all understand the importance of strength in our physical body, but many are exceedingly weak in the inner man. Clark says, it would be a disgrace to a king or a nobleman to give no more than a tradesman or a peasant. God acts up to the dignity of his infinite perfections. He gives according to the riches of his glory. My friends, he gives us according to the riches of his grace.